Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 10. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Judges in chapter 10. And as you go there, we recall that we ended with the reign, we could call it, of Abimelech. He was a usurper in the midst of Israel. We saw that he was really not a judge, but a judgment. The people of God had gone sideways after the ephod that Gideon had made. And after he died, he had 70 sons and he had Abimelech. And he was a byproduct of an illicit relationship with a concubine. And Abimelech killed them all. And it was just a judgment. You know, what happened with Gideon was wonderful. But as we saw, he had fallen prey to one of those perils of war. And that is just having to deal with himself. Funny how he did so well on all the other fronts, but he didn't do so well with himself. And as we come to the end of chapter 9, we see Abimelech passes off of the scene. And as a result of that, we have a couple of other judges that come into view, Tola and Jair. We're not going to talk about them much because not much is spoken about them, except they had about a 45-year time of judging Israel, probably as judicial arbiters. People would come to them and they probably took a little initiative and gave some direction. How good it is to have some direction, right? And leadership. And I think it was Deborah who sang, when the leaders lead in Israel, the people rejoice. And so as we understand we need leaders, we understand also we need followers, right? Somebody said, if you think you're leading and nobody's following, you're just out taking a walk. Okay, so I say to you that this is a day where the church is in dire straits. We have a lot to commend to us in the book of Judges as a result, because the Bible says again and again in this book, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Why? Because there was no king in Israel. And so when you consider the fact that there was no king in Israel, you see there's no leader in Israel. And so they would constantly turn to the left and to the right. And they got onto some circuits of being bad and then repenting and then being restored and then kind of being on top again. But then they would eventually turn again, and it was a cycle. You may find that as a cycle in your own life. And you think, what in the world's happening to me? Why is it I can be so good one day and I get a good little bit of a run and I'm walking with the Lord, but then all of a sudden I'm not really feeling it and I find myself, you know, going dark in my core. I get depressed, discouraged. I maybe lash out or something, you know, in some kind of a sinful manner. Maybe I allow myself liberties I ought not. And then I feel all rotten. Then I say, God, I'm sorry. And every time he runs to me, I mean, I tell you, God's good. I remember the song that came out some time ago. I love it. It's called When God Ran, right? He throws his arms around me, wipes the tears from my eyes. My son's come home again. It's a good song. It'll give you chills. The only time God runs is when his people come home. Folks, listen, we need to constantly remember the door is always open. Amen? That's the secret of the Christian life. It is a cycle. You're going to have good times, bad times. There's going to be up times, down times. And you're going to find yourself needing that embrace that only the Lord can give. Now, I say that by way of introduction because the main character in our narrative of this section of the book of Judges is a man named Jephthah. But to get to him, we have to realize after these two judges go off of the scene, there is a time where the people really do leave the straight and narrow path, if you will. And as a result of that, they get themselves in really deep. Now, let me just tell you something about the insidiousness of sin. If you do not pay attention to the warfare you are in, you will find that when you stumble once or stumble twice, it's easier to go further the next time. See what I'm saying? It's an issue of if I allow myself to let down on my desire to chase the Lord and seek the Lord, you need to fear, because you're in a warfare, the devil will make available to you ways and means to do worse the next time. So be a little nervous about it. God would not have us have fear, because perfect love casts out fear. God wants us to grow up, and perfect love means mature love. He wants you to recognize what you are doing. There's no mystery here because God turns the light on. You are in foreign soil. We are called pilgrims and sojourners. And so when we see the applications of the book of Judges in our own lives, we need to recognize that these people would go away, and sometimes they would go away really badly. Verse 6 says, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. We're in chapter 10, verse 6. And served Baalim and Ashtaroth. Look at this. And the gods of Assyria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and. You take every god of their choosing, they went there. Now notice, they don't have TV. They don't have internet. They don't have connectivity, and they don't have moment-by-moment news broadcasts. And so the reason these people are involved in all these different gods is because it's a spread out people. If you're living over by the Zidons, if you're living by the Philistines, you're going to pick up whatever variety is there. However, they're all in for evil here. Big deal, right? Don't want to be all in for evil. And yet, the Bible says they served them. And at the end of verse 6, it says, and they forsook the Lord and served not Him. That reminds us that no man can serve two masters. He will either love the one and hate the other, or despise the one and cleave to the other. You have that potential, just like I do. And the problem is that the Bible teaches very clearly, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If you try to keep one hand on the world and one hand on the Lord, you're going to look like Tarzan swinging from vine to vine and not letting go of the other ones. You're going to look silly, okay? You're going to look ridiculous. You have to be careful because God doesn't want us to look silly. However, He'll let us look silly. He'll let us embarrass ourselves. Because sometimes the only thing that really does wake us up is a little humiliation. Such is the case with these people here. They forsook the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 7, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. The word for anger here is nostrils. Interesting word, right? It's the flaring of the nostrils. Now, there are a lot of folks in our world, in religious circles, who think that God is dispassionate. This tells me He's not dispassionate. In fact, if you read all of the prophets where God is crying out and saying, come back to me, my people, God is dynamically connected to His people. We are free agents. He is a sovereign God, and He seeks all people to be saved. It is not some sort of a mechanical ritual. We're not robots. God grieves our hurts with us. He enjoys our joys with us. He is for us. But when we turn away, time and time and time again, there may come a time when we sense His displeasure. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But let me tell you, the thing that will anger God is when we begin to sin in such a way as to begin to harm other people and harm the cause of Christ. These were God's boots on the ground in the Old Testament days. They were His representatives in an era where there was nothing but darkness everywhere. And when they dissipated so badly, what ends up happening is they become a bad testimony. Ultimately, it will result in them being carried away into Babylonian captivity, carried away by the Assyrians in the northern kingdom, ultimately to never really fly as high again after those occurrences. They would be subjugated by other kingdoms, though with certain privileges most of the time, because God's seal, the residue of God's Spirit, was with them. Even to this day, they're not collectively online for God. Many people who are Jewish are atheists by profession, but for some reason they keep wanting to go back and live in Israel because there's some connectivity. You know, it's like they're just doing something by instinct more than by desire. So my point is this, is that when you find yourself in, you know, back to the wall kind of thing, and you find yourself going a little further, don't be surprised when God brings the hammer down a little bit more seriously. Just like when your children push the envelope too far, there's a time to get up and, you know, rip that belt out of your loops. My dad used to do that. It was a sound that made me shake when I knew it was coming because he would not make it easy. He would say, you'd hear it going right through the loops. And I knew, you know, the hammer was going to fall, and it got my attention. Well, I believe every one of us need to hear the crack of the whip once in a while, because that's how we are what? Disciplined. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens, disciplines, and He scourges. That's the whip. Every son he receives. So sometimes if you're going along and you're not doing what you should be doing, and you never get a crack of the whip, the Bible says if you're without chastening, you're illegitimate. You've never been born again. So let me just tell you, God doesn't chasten a little one-year-old the same He does a 40-year-old. Okay? He has ways and means. He's not harsh, and He never overpunishes. And if you notice, we're in chapter 10, and He's not been this angry with them before. Look what He says. It says, the anger of the Lord, verse 7, was hot against Israel, and He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. Now, understand this. When it says they served those gods and they didn't serve the Lord, think of this. When it comes around and it says, and He sold them, you get the picture if you put those two verses together, because servitude is about being a slave. And you know what's real? Is you're serving somebody right now. You are. Everybody serves something. CSN, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. You got to believe in someone. If you don't, you will be lost. You got to believe in something no matter the cost. There's all these principles people in the world understand. You are serving something. You're either serving yourself, or you're serving the Lord, or you're serving the devil, or you're serving the world. But we're all serving something. And you got to choose. This by the seat of our pants thing that we've got going on in our country leaves people looking foolish. They say there are no absolutes. And you say to them, well, is that absolutely true? You know, their way doesn't work when they do that. So, God sold them. Why? Because people are subject to their environment now. Because we're not in dominion like we were under Adam. The fall occurred. There's the devil on one hand and there's God on the other. You're going to serve ultimately one or the other. And as we see all these different faces, all these different gods, God's one. He's obvious. Somebody made it very clear something about the insidiousness of the difference between right and wrong. If I put a stick behind my back and I ask you all to take a paper out and ask you to draw a stick, and you got to draw it without seeing it, everybody come up with a different look of a stick. But if I said I have a ruler behind my back, well, I want you to all draw a ruler, and you haven't seen it, we'd all look pretty much the same, because right is right, wrong is wrong. And that's the insidiousness. The devil has a whole lot of alternatives for you. And you have to serve the right and the true, or you will find yourself out in a field somewhere wandering around, wondering maybe how you got there. So the Lord sold them, like the slavery block in many countries, even sadly, and in ours in the early days when slavery was still in vogue. My point is that slavery is what we see. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 that we need to yield our members. We're to reckon ourselves dead to sin and now yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And that means weapons of war. Notice it's interesting. Instruments of war. You yield your hands, feet, mind, eyes, thoughts. What you yield it to, it's all part of the battle that's ongoing. And so says Romans chapter 6. The pictures are very deliberate. And so we see him selling them as on the auction block. He says, you want to go live with them? You want to go serve them? Think about it. We're supposed to be on his ground. We're supposed to be serving him. And we're over serving the neighbors all the time. All right, I'll sell you. Go. Go. And I think that's important because Paul says he was sold under sin in Romans chapter 7. So you get the idea. What does it mean to be sold? What does it mean to be redeemed? Okay, because we're going to serve something. He goes and buys us. So that's just a principle I wanted to bring to your attention. The Bible says he sold them in verse 7 into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. Verse 8 says, and that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. So that year specifically, they vexed and oppressed them. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.